You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading for today is in Ecclesiastes 7:13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? And our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Well, thank Derek for letting me conclude what we started last week. Anyway, let's open with prayer. Father, we are mindful of the tremendous responsibility in dealing with your word. Father, we do pray now that the Holy Spirit would be the teacher in these things and take the things of Christ and make them real to us. Father, as we gather thinking from last week, we pray for that there won't be any outside interference, that these things will be well-pleasing in your sight. We pray in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Well, to regather our thinking, to pick up where we left off last week, and for those of you that weren't here, a little review on some of these things. We're studying the time period of around the flood and Tower of Babel. And remember, what I handed out, we have the, you'll need that, the timeline, if you would get that out, because we'll be looking at that. Of course, Adam, we know that Adam, according to the genealogies of the Bible, was created, just a timeline there, in 4004 B.C. that Adam was created. And then, if you would, turn to Genesis 3:15, and we want to look at the first promise of the Savior. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It, or that really should be he, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. From that point in history, when Satan was told that, Satan has been trying to dehumanize the Adamic race, if you will. Okay? And we're going to look at some of that. Now, hence, let's go to chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 1 through 4. As it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive always with man, or that's Adam there, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. There were giants, or Nephilim, in the earth in those days, and also after that. When the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men which were mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Okay, so here you have, now keep in mind, anytime the term sons of God is used in the Old Testament, we're talking about a direct creation of God. So Adam is son of God. But other than that, as far as direct creation of God, now keep in mind it's the Old Testament. Now we're not talking about New Testament, because then you're talking about generated from on high or believers in Christ. Old Testament, anytime it says sons of God, you're talking about direct creation of God. So here it says that in verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of Adam there, really, and that they were fair. Okay? So this is Satan's attempt, if you will, to de-atomize, dehumanize the Adamic race. And also notice in verse 3 that Adam here is given 120 years of grace. That's talking about, it applies to Adam, I believe. Okay? Verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with Adam, for that he also was flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. From this point in time when that was said, Adam lived 120 more years. Which is interesting. Now, look at your timeline. Everybody get the timeline? Let's just look at that a minute. So you have Adam created 4004 B.C. And then I listed Enoch there because quite an unusual individual, the first preacher mentioned in the Bible. And he was born then in 3382 B.C. And, of course, Enoch was the individual that was translated, just went to be with God, didn't die a natural death. But look when Adam died here. So Adam died in the year 3074. So he lived to be, 930 years old. And then shortly after Adam died, you have here that Enoch was translated. Now, if you will, look at Enoch was translated in 3017 B.C. Next we have Noah was born. You see that? So Noah was born about 2948 B.C. And then next you have, on the timeline there, you have Noah's sons come into picture. And then you have the flood. So in reviewing from last week, of course, we know what happened. Well, let's go down and read a couple of verses about Noah here. Look at verse 9. Let's start with 8 first. Of chapter 6. Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. What this tells us is Noah's generations were without blemish. Satan had not gotten to his lineage, if you will. Okay? And it says, and Noah walked with God. Of course, then we have that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And these are the three fountainheads of the race of the human race from going down from there. Okay, so on the timeline, Noah's sons come into play there. Now, isn't it great here at Northside that, we have both sides of the spectrum covered. Champ hands out something, man, it's high tech. I hand out something, now this is low tech, right? We have all extremes covered from high to low. Hope you don't mind that, but I hope you can tell where Noah's sons are. And then we have the flood comes into play. You know, it grieved God, it says, it even made man, Adamic man. So what he did, he was going to do, he wiped the earth clean, made the promise, of course, gave us a rainbow, made the covenant, that he'll never again destroy all flesh from the earth with the flood. Now, he didn't say he'd never again get their attention, did he? He said, never destroy all flesh with the flood. Well, that's what we have next, is we have the Tower of Babel, if you will, right there. Now, Peleg was born in there, and as mentioned last week, Peleg was born, and in the time of Peleg was the earth divided. So it was a heck of a cataclysm. The continents actually came into existence in the time of Peleg. And I don't believe we know exactly the year, but in that time. If you will, let's turn to Jude, verse 6. Jude preceding Revelation. Reading from verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So this is a description of those angels that left their first estate, didn't stay in their own habitation. So they got out. You know, all beings are under authority of God, right? So these folks, just like we learned in Job, that Satan, you remember he wanted to touch Job? But God told him, you can't take his life. Remember that? So see, all the created beings are under the authority of God. And they can't just do what they want to do, though. But these angels left their first habitation. These were the fellows probably that came down and mingled to try to dehumanize the Adamic race. If you will, look at verse 11. Woe unto them, for they that have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Here we have that those that have actually served Satan and tried to accomplish his purposes, that is called the way of Cain in a general description. They followed the way of Cain. Then, if you will, drop down to verse 14. It talks about Enoch. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. It's interesting. In the numbers in Scripture, the number 7 stands for spiritual perfection. And so we have Enoch, the first preacher in the world, was the 7th from Adam. He was the 7th generation. Just interesting note there. So on our timeline again, we have Enoch there. Okay? And so it's interesting to note that before Enoch was translated, okay, so what does a preacher do? He preaches. He tells people about God, you know, and here he warned about the coming judgment. So the people then weren't without warning at all, were they? Heavens, no. We have Enoch there telling them, you know, what's going to happen. You know, turn to the Lord. And then also in the timeline, Noah is born there, 2948 B.C., and Noah goes on to live 950 years. So this is what I thought rather interesting, too. In our mind, you know, we think back, well, there's 4,000 years before Christ and all these things went along. If you take the life of Adam, you take 930, and you take the life of Noah, you take 950, and they did not live at the same time. Did Adam die before Noah? That's almost 2,000 years. And then Enoch was in between, right? You have someone from God right there all the time. Can you imagine that Adam was witnessing all these things, see? Then Noah is witnessing all these things. And then you have, as far as the flood, wiping the slate clean, what happens? Noah gets off the boat, immediately commits some, you know, problems. That's the first mention of wine in the Bible. And it's not a good mention, you know, it's drunkenness. Then we have his three sons, and you have the curse. Remember that Canaan, Ham's son, was cursed due to the first homosexual act in the Bible, basically, is what it is. So you need to study those things out. Anyway, so does that get man's attention? Nope. You have also, it gets man's attention, but they still don't turn to the Lord totally. So turn to Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 38. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came, took them all away. So it's interesting. You have in Scripture the days of Noah are talked about. And they're talked about as being a really evil time. Okay? But also, not only during that time, that's not only before the flood, but after the flood. Because you still have these angelic beings, if you will, still trying to eliminate the seed of the woman. That prophecy back in Genesis 3:15. Remember, the seed of the woman shall crush the serpent's head. Okay. Now, Noah's three sons, their mission was to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Well, the characters didn't do it. You know, they came together and their lineages came together. And then after the flood I'm talking about, then you have the Tower of Babel. It's real interesting here. If you would, take your New American Magazine. Now, you have to keep in mind that Satan is the father of all lie. Anything that's unholy, untrue, and ungodly, Satan is the father of that. Okay? And I don't care what the context is, he's always the counterfeit of truth. So I'd like to you for you to turn to page, I believe it's page 22. In the New American, turn to page 22. On page 22 in the magazine, you have the top left-hand corner, a picture of a poster that was published by the European Union to advertise the promotion of the European Union. What is it? It is a picture of the Tower of Babel. You see it? That was actually published in throughout Europe in their advertising campaign for the European Union to come together, all those nations in Europe to come together as one. Now you tell me they don't know what's going on. You have a poster of the picture of the Tower of Babel. And also, these pentagrams or whatever above that have satanic meanings and all that. They know exactly. There's some folks. I don't know how many of them, but there are some folks that know exactly what's going on. So this good to evil struggle has been going on for a long time. And it's really coming to the forefront of our time. However, it's extremely interesting. You know, God is still in control. He always has been, and He always will be. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Hope this will all come together. Verses 24 through 28a. Acts 17, verses 24 through 28a. This is the Apostle Paul here, stating in the book of Acts, of course. He came across this statue to the unknown God. Okay, and so he's giving a summary of really what the truth is. It says, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. This is what I want you to really pay attention to. And hath made of one, now that word blood is not in the text, so scratch it out. He hath made one of all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. What's that telling us? Even though man throughout history came together like Tower of Babel, we're going to do our own thing, you know, we're going to make a name for ourselves and ignore God totally, Tower of Babel. Here it says, look, you may try that man, but what was the decree of that? Well, 70 nations came into existence at that time, okay? And that's when Shem, there was 30, Ham was 30, Shem was 26 nations, and Japheth was 14. And keep in mind, that's probably the fiat of God when the continents were divided. And at that time, you had the languages confused and confounded. They could not communicate with each other. Think about that. You know, they all came together. So you have the nations of God were established at that very point in time in history. And here he's telling us, even though you may, you know, man proposes, but God disposes, doesn't he? God, see, nationhood to God is a good thing, is a very good thing. Because man depends and looks to God when you have nations to honor God. Okay, but when man all comes together, we think, well, we don't need God. And that's exactly what I want to point out through this study here. As far as what's going on in the United Nations today, if you would. Now, the UN was founded in 1945, I believe, right after the World War II. Okay? And they used the peace. You know, we had a world war. We can't have that again. We've got to have peace. Okay? If you would, turn to page 4 in the magazine. Some of the words they use in this, that, you know, want to build the UN and make it strong are the words world order. Okay, and they use the words new world order and this and that. But the millennium, the turn of the millennium, really gave them an impetus of, boy, we're going to float all these things in the UN because of the new millennium and we've got to have peace and all that. Just one of a couple of things. In May of this year, the UN Millennium Forum was conducted. And a couple of quotes down the left-hand column there, last paragraph, just a couple of things. This quote concerning this from this individual. The world needs new ways of governance, announces altered states, globalization, sovereignty, and governance, a report prepared for the UN's Millennium Summit. This says down below, the authors take care to avoid the loaded term world government. Otherwise, they don't want to use that term because they know too many of us know what that means. And too many of the public are aware that world government is a bad deal. So they use world governance. And then, top of the second column, a strong and effective United Nations is a precondition of good governance on Earth, according to them. And down below, the development of global governance is part of an evolution of human effort to organize life on the planet. Sure. Yeah, we tried that before. Tower of Babel, all those things, see. Interesting. So that's what has to do with world government. Turn to page 16, if you would. United Nations, and through their agencies, has called for the disarmament of all civilian populace. There's a statue that is out in front of the UN, and there it is on page 16. It's the sculpture of a revolver tied, knotted, if you will. And they have called for the disarmament of the civilian populace throughout the world. Okay? It's an example of where they're headed. Now remember, what I handed out as far as, let me get this, the remember on this, the two worldviews of government, those that weren't here last week, I just want to, let's look at that for a minute. Just kind of review this. Of course, the first premise there that man, from a Christian worldview, man was created in the image of God. But of course, the pagan view is that man evolved from animals. Okay, Then look at number four, all things are made by God. And, of course, the pagan view is all things happen by chance. Number three, the state under Christian worldview is ordained to serve man. Under the pagan view, man is destined to serve the state. So anytime you're talking about an all-powerful world state, they plan that we should serve them. Okay? Now, look at page 27 on the magazine. And at the same time, let's look at number five on the worldviews. Christian worldview, man's activities are determined or controlled by internal conditions, that is, the condition of the heart. Is it a regenerated heart from on high, serving the Lord, glorifying God, or man's view, man's activities are controlled by external environmental factors? And number six, man is made whole and perfected by regeneration of his heart, whereas the pagan view or the worldview concerning godlessness is man is perfected by making a perfect environment. Okay? Look at number eight. Man is to subdue the environment according to God, you know, replenish, occupy, and replenish the earth. As stewards, we're to take care of these things. Number eight on the pagan view is man is to adapt to the environment. So what do you have the UN doing now? They're using the excuse of the environment in many ways to gain control. And here you have a couple examples. One example is that the Independence Hall in Philadelphia, of all places, has been declared a World Heritage Site by the United Nations. Think about that. You think that's not throwing it in our face? And look at the on the lower right hand little box there on page 27. Ostensibly devised to deal with such global crises as global warming, deforestation, endangered species, and the loss of biodiversity, UN treaties and agreements are forming the basis for policies and legislation that are ravaging our economy, insulting our liberty. Now, what you have is man, in man's way, comes up with all these problems. And let's call it overpopulation. Okay? If you've gone to the federal school, government school, I don't call them public, and please try to get that out of your vocabulary, there's no such thing as a public school anymore. There may have been at one time, but there's not now. It's a federal school, it's a government school. Okay? Anyway, you've probably been taught that the world's overpopulated. I used to be invited up to Central State to my agnostic friend, John George's classes, Dr. George. And one of the times I was brought up over the so-called overpopulation myth, and I made the statement, did you realize you can take all the people in the world and put them in the state of Oklahoma and they'd have in excess of 300 square feet? And George looked at me and said, Clark, are you sure about that? I said, it's simple math, Dr. George. And it is. About 5 billion people in the world. You take all the people in the world and put them in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, and they will not touch. All the people in the world. Jacksonville's the largest city, by the way. There's no overpopulation. Okay? And I'm not saying there's no challenges with the environment. No one likes dirty chemical water and all that stuff. I mean, you know, we can't be used for fools. But at the same time, many of these things, problems, are overemphasized. The ozone hole or whatever. So what? It occurs as a natural phenomenon. There's all kinds of hundreds of scientists that say this is not a problem. It's a natural occurrence. And then yet, in the media, we hear that, you know, the sky's falling, we've got to do this and that. It's incredible. So they use these things so we will buy the lie that the United Nations must be more powerful so we can control the different governments. Okay? So they can't pollute the waters and streams and fields and all that stuff. All right. Continuing on. They use more than just the environment. They sure do. They also, let's turn to page... Ah, I forgot one. on page 16, the gun control, where it was naughty, you don't have to turn there. But anyway, the UN uses Scripture. You know they have some Scripture at the UN? They may have more than this, okay? But the one Scripture they have for sure is Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Turn to Isaiah 2, 4, and that's page 933 in your companion. Seriously, they have this at the UN. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. They have this quote, and I don't know where it is. I visited the UN years ago before I knew a lot of this stuff. And I didn't see this. But here's what the UN is. Here's the Scripture the United Nations is promoting. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the UN says, "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So according to the United Nations, if we're to follow the Scripture of the Word of God, that we're supposed to disarm. Each nation is supposed to disarm. Get that? That's what they say. See how they perverted, how the enemy is a counterfeit? Okay. Turn to page 31 on the New American there. Remember that someone said it takes a village to raise a child. Well, here it takes a global village. And this would be really funny if it wasn't so serious, but on page 31, here's what the UN has floated. Starting the article by Sam Blumenfeld. "Every child is our child," proclaims the motto of the United Nations Children's Fund. Incidentally, this is UNICEF. And over the weekend, during some channel, I was watching something on Turner Broadcast. Now, keep in mind, Ted Turner has just given the United Nations how much money? $10 billion to the UN. According to the UN, that they see the children belong to UNICEF, summarizing the UN's dogma that children are the common property of society rather than the sacred moral responsibility given to parents by God. See that? And that's why Hillary says it takes a village. Well, the UN says it takes a global village to take care of these children. It says, indeed, UNESCO has explicitly condemned parents as an impediment to the formation and development of psychological attitudes favorable to construction, maintenance, and advancement of a united world. And believe you me, we are and they are an impediment to the kind of world that they want. Hence, the homeschool program, the independent schools, Christian and private, will be coming under attack increasingly more because they can't control them. Because in their point of view, children are the property of the world. Okay? Very interesting. And that's when you have the so-called bit with children's rights floated. Okay? Now, continuing on, 38, page 38. Not only do they want that, the creating of the New World Religion. They love that kind of thing. First quote there, left-hand column. "You may think that the United Nations, an intergovernmental organization, must abide by the same separation of church and state found in the United States and many other countries." Now keep in mind, this is Secretary General of the UN talking. "I would ask you to think differently. The United Nations is a tapestry not only of suits and saris, but of clerics' collars, nuns' habits, and lamas' robes, and mitres, and skullcaps, and yarmulkes." Okay? Now, "in his remarks reveal an important but little understood dimension of the United Nations and the New World Order, namely that the growing connection of certain religious and spiritual orthodoxies to the drive for one world government. While certain early proponents of the UN recognized early on that the contemplated New World Order would be successful, would have to include a religious/spiritual arm. The open linkage of the United Nations mission with religion and spirituality has been a comparatively recent development." Now, I want you to go to the next column down below, and here's what this New Age mystic guy by the name of Mueller says. He said, "Mueller believes that the UN represents the true body of Christ, otherwise all man, Adamic man, coming together." This is the body of Christ, okay? And he has stated this: if Christ came back to earth, his first visit would be to the United Nations to see if his dream of human oneness and brotherhood had come true. Isn't that a hoot? Here's a guy saying that Christ's dream, and here's what has God done throughout history. Man came together, God took care of it, wiped him with a flood. Man came together, he established the nations and languages, okay, dispersed them. And so here's what these people are saying. And then he says, in order to do this, my great personal dream is to get a tremendous alliance between all major religions and the UN. I hope we as individuals aren't thinking about the UN as being just a political body. It's much more than that. It is Antichrist. And you can read in this magazine and just point out some other things. But it is. It's Satan's true counterfeit for this time. Now, how do people, what do they do with this? And how do they promote it? Well, interesting. Let's look back at our timeline, too. Look at your timeline again, because as was in the news here this last weekend, and going along the timeline, we have, of course, Peleg died there in 2008 B.C., and then Noah died in 1998 B.C., and then you have Abraham is born 2 years after Noah died. It's interesting they live so close together there. But what I want to point out is immediately then, a little later on, you have Ishmael and Isaac were born. And then immediately after, in their teens, that's when the Arab and the Jewish conflict started, wasn't it? Right there. And that fight has been going on ever since. And so what you'll hear in the media this next week or month or whatever, that we must come together and we got to get peace and everything. But the scripture tells us, look, without the Prince of Peace, there is no peace. Now, who among this group gives Christ the credit for anything? The true Christ of the Bible? No one, right? Not going to be peace over there. But anyway, that's when the conflict, the Mideast conflict, started. And it's going to continue until Christ takes down. And then, of course, on the time lineage, the very most important thing, occurrence in human history, is when Christ was born and the Lord became flesh to dwell among us. So what we as Christians are going to be bombarded with on these things is some of the following. Here's some of their arguments. Well, we must have the United Nations because it's the world's last best hope for peace. That's what they say. And that's what, if you have a student going to universities, 99% of them are going to hear that. We must have it because it's the world's last hope for peace. Wrong. Sometimes it is so disturbing to visit with Christians that really have no ideas. I have a dear friend that loves the Lord tremendously. He was visiting his home, and he had a picture of the UN there with a picture of a statue of Christ being larger than the UN, like Christ was. Have you all seen this picture too? Christ being, taller than UN with his hand on the UN. I don't know who came up with that. I know, but it's so sad. And this man really loves the Lord. But Christians, by and large, have no earthly idea about this teaching. That man coming together is really evil, about the Tower of Babel and these type of things, about the segregation, if will, of the races to glorify God. Okay, but the races are a wonderful thing, like Dr. Mack points out in his book, Place of Race. Consider flowers, a rose, a violet, they each have a special purpose. Of course, in Christ, these things are totally, it doesn't matter, because in Christ, you really come to Christ, and everything is one in Christ. These other things don't matter at all. But these people are denying, of course, the Christ, the Bible that we know, and that personal relationship. But the deceived Christians out there, it's incredibly, well, they are deceived, very much so. Another thing they like to float nowadays is that world government is necessary to solve global problems, since national governments have been unable to do so. And I mentioned some of those things earlier. Population, the environment, the ozone, and those type things. The UN efforts help to eliminate such roots of war as hunger, poverty, ignorance, and disease. That's what they float. And as I stated last week, they use that same old argument, don't they? Ignorance, poverty, and disease, that's why we need to give money to these people. Also, you hear the UN concept of human rights is very similar to our Bill of Rights. Could not be anything further from the truth. Total lying fabrication. But we, as believers, in living in the time in which we live, have to be ready to answer, especially to our brothers in Christ, what's going on. We live in a terrific time to be able to educate others to some of these things. It's calling here to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that all their course is all saints, all Christians. We're charged, all Christians, to guide them to the fellowship of the mystery, meaning basically, the way I paraphrase it in just a minute or two, would be that, look, in Christ, these things, that everything is just in Christ now. We are complete in Christ. We don't serve a religion. We serve a risen Savior. You don't have to be a member of this, this, and that, and do that. And then turn them to the Word and say, look, you know, that Satan loves to use Scripture misapplied. And that's what he does. That's how they have it on the UN. Here's another one. We must turn back the clock to a period of... We must not turn back the clock to a period of isolationism. That's why we have to have the UN. And they'll hit you with that one. It's very interesting. In the Christian community, a lot of what you'll hear is, and it's very good for fundraising, a lot of what you hear is they will put us, the time in which we live, in the book of Revelation. Okay, they'll take a thing. Now, the key to that is, and their teaching here, Derek's done such a masterful job with that, is Revelation is in the day of the Lord. It's another time period when God starts taking more control. We don't have to worry about that. Okay, we're not in the book of Revelation. So, you know, it's nothing like that in the book of Revelation is going to happen tomorrow. And of course, we've had our teaching on the return of Elijah. Now, there's an individual that will get the attention of the Mideast, if you will. So, meanwhile, to me, these things are kind of fascinating. And then when you have the news, and then if we can just reach out to our fellow Christians to kind of inform them and encourage them at the same time, because the battle still rages. It hadn't changed. And then, hence the verse that was read this morning, we don't want to be found trying to straighten out what God has made crooked. There's a purpose for the crookedness, okay, and that's to glorify Him, if you will. Okay, makes sense? I hope that's good. Let's close. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to share this morning. And Father, I pray that if I've erred in any way here, You erase that from the hearts and minds of the hearers. At the same time, Lord, those things that be true and right on target, that glorify Your Son, we pray that You make them a part and parcel of us. And these graces, Father, we pray in the name, for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.